The Big 12 Experience and College Baseball Experience crossover edition of the Big 12 Baseball Conference preview and look ahead on the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy Play, their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today using that promo code TCESGPN to get a 100% deposit match today. We're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, Avio. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsversusodds.com. That's A-R-B-S versus O-D-D-S.com. Plus, it's Masters Week. Get out those green jackets because the Golf Gambling Podcast are giving away a tailor-made Spider X putter for free. All you got to do is simply enter at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
Noah's coming on and already screwing up the format.
And welcome everybody to the Big 12 College Experience and a College Baseball Experience that has a basketball court somehow on the backside of it as we transition over into baseball. Welcome to the diamond season, fellas. Basketball is over, or I guess the games are over. The fucking season's never over. 1,500 names in the portal. John Calipari's over there singing, "Woo, Pig Suey." There's plenty to talk about on the basketball front. Subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. But we're talking baseball. We're talking college baseball. And one of the premier leagues in the land in college baseball is the Big 12. So if you're wondering who you're listening to, always talking Big 12. I am Moneyline Mac, a.k.a. the former video courier for Bob Huggins and Frank Martin. And we're talking Big 12, which means we got, well, this guy, he's a walking contradiction because he was born in Provo, Utah. He's got family in Ames, Iowa, and he lives in Morgantown, West Virginia. Co-host of the Ryan and Rush Show, Rambling Rush. Rush, you ready to talk some diamond?
Yeah, I went to one of the BYU West Virginia games already this season. It was the doubleheader. I think we ended up splitting it. It was funny. I went to the West Virginia leadoff dinner as well, the baseball dinner, and Coach Mazie was talking about, he was like, oh, I forgot why, but he brought up something going on with BYU in town. He's like, of course, BYU's in town, so we got to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Can't play Friday, Saturday, Sunday with those guys. And then what's funny is it rained on Saturday, so the series was done by Friday night because of the doubleheader. So, hey, that's what happens, I guess, when you play BYU. But, hey, West Virginia's coming back. JJ's healthy, and tides are turning. Looking forward to talking about that.
The tides are turning. We sucked in basketball, so we quickly moved on to baseball season. But hey, third man in the box, it is not the Big 12 guru. You guys know him from the College Basketball Experience and the College Baseball Experience. You know, he's got the windows hanging, he's drywall hanging, the LeBaron driving. He's a man of all, jack of all trades. He is the pulse of the College Experience, all channels on the College Experience. Noah Beanick, a.k.a. Noah B77 underscore. What's up, my friend?
What's going on, guys? I'm excited that you guys are hopping on the college baseball train now. I mean,
hell yeah.
Look, the Big 12 is just as fun in baseball as it is in basketball and football. I mean, you look at this, I think it's a perfect comparison to the way the football season went this year. Not really a team separating from the pack, which makes for a ton of chaos, and anybody can get anybody on any given day. So Big 12 is plenty of fun. Let's get into this.
The league of the middle class, baby.
Hopefully we do better in the college baseball playoffs than we did in the NCAA March Madness tournament. But, hey, you know what? Baseball is
– at least you get a bid into the NCAA tournament baseball-wise instead of football.
So. Very – yeah, true. You know, this is not as corrupt as it is in football. But let's talk baseball. We'll go we'll start at the top because, well, you know, the West Virginia Mountaineers are tied for first with the Oklahoma Sooners. They do have the tiebreaker because they won 2 out of 3 in Norman. They both sit at 8-4. K-State, OK State, Cincinnati, Texas, 1 game back at 7-5. UCF, so we got a couple teams that have played a couple extra games. UCF and Texas Tech sit at 8-7, as well as Kansas one game back at 7-8. Baylor at 5-7. The Cougs, who can't play on Sunday, at 6-9. TCU 5-10, and Houston in the basement at 4-11. Noah, just your thoughts on the way that the standings have shaken out so far through 12/15 games. So what, four series or five series to start?
Well, I'll say this. If you asked me to place any bets on who the teams in the basement would be, some of the last teams I would have gotten to would have been TCU and Houston. Mm-hmm. To say the least, TCU was the betting favorite coming into the year to win the Big 12. They steamrolled the non-conference schedule the first 4 weeks of the season and then fell apart. They went 2-7 in the first three weekends of Big 12 play. They've got all the pieces, a lot of returning players from last year's Omaha run, and they're doing exactly what they did last year during the season. They started off hot, then they slumped in the Big 12. They got hot again the May and June months, mm-hmm. and they made a run to Omaha. I think they had definitely have the pieces to do that once again this year, because we've seen it once before, and they've got a lefty ace in Peyton Tolley, who's been mowing on every Friday, giving them at least a chance to win with, I have written down, they have the 13th, a.k.a. last, their last place in conference in batting average at 221. So when you got the ankle weights on, that's going to help you lose some ball games. When they take those off, expect the Frogs to once again be flying. At Houston, they've been a real surprise to me, like as in just really disappointing. I thought the pitching staff was going to be much better than it is. And they've been really, really bad this season. We'll talk about my surprise in a little bit, but yeah, there is one of these teams. You know what? Cincinnati being tied for third. My guy Jordan Bischel, he's the coach at Central Michigan. He comes over with the Bearcats in year one, and he has them tied for third right now. They have the second most runs scored this season in the Big 12 with 262. Really promising start to the Jordan Bischel era there in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that was the team that I was surprised the most about too, Noah, is Cincinnati. And I think you definitely, when you look at these standings, you know, I mean, historically, right, is the warm weather teams are the ones usually doing the best, and these colder weather teams are the ones usually struggling and trying to come alive later. We see kind of clustered together, right? So last year, we ended the regular season, right? It was Texas, Oklahoma State, and West Virginia all tying for a share of the Big 12 title. This year, West Virginia and Oklahoma, still a lot of games to be played, but are leading the pack. And then you have a lot of these teams clustered at that three spot, that 7-5 spot. This Oklahoma State team is, I feel like they're a team that doesn't get a lot of love. They're not necessarily talked about a lot, but they always just, I mean, West Virginia, it's the series they lost, right? They lost two games to them. They always seem to kind of stay around and be sneaky. And the next thing you know, they're like, oh, wow, they want to share the Big 12 title, or they snapped off this many games. What do you think about this Oklahoma State team this year compared to their team last year?
Well, this is a great observation, because one of the other topics that we're going to talk about on the show is who I think possibly wins the Big 12 this season. And Oklahoma State's my answer. Personally, I think Josh Holliday is one of the best coaches in the conference. And I mean, you guys know it firsthand with the whole JJ Weatherholt injury and how that's kind of held the team back, but they're still in first place right now in the Big 12. Oklahoma State's best player, Nolan Schubert, has been out for quite some time, at least a month. And he just came back last weekend, hits a blast in his first at bat, announces, you know, his return. And I like the 1-2 punch in the starting rotation. I think it's the best 1-2 in the conference behind Sam Garcia and Brian Holliday. They're both guys with sub 3.15 ERAs. Holliday's your more the strikeout guy, along with Garcia, has some strikeout potential as well. Both of them 60 plus strikeouts and a good amount of innings. And they've made every start for this team. That's something that, you know, is needed because a lot of injuries fly under the radar, just to say the least. And when you have consistency on the mound, that is number one. And I mean, they do have, as a staff, the best ERA in the conference with a 4.10 and the most strikeouts, 347. Pitching is going to take you a long way when it's good and consistent. Oklahoma State has that. And the batter's box, they've been very, very solid. The breakout performer this year for them has been Zach Erhard. He's got a 354 batting average, a 1034 OPS, and he really stepped up in the absence of Schubart. And they've got other guys that, you know, have been able to contribute as well. Lane Forsythe, the transfer from Mississippi State, is locking it down defensively and also doing enough at the plate. Aiden Miola, son of, I think it's Tim or Tom Miola, forgive me. I think Troy is the soccer guy, but he was a goalie for Team USA in the Olympics. Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, athletic background there with Miola. He can stick it as well. And then Carson Benj is like the hot name on this team. He can do it all, both on the mound and at the plate, two-way star. So this is a very fun team. This is the team that I think ends up winning the Big 12 when it's all said and done.
I hate to hear that, but I do like Oklahoma State. I am an Oklahoma State closet fan, especially in football with Gundy. I like Holiday. They kind of, when you guys had me on for the college baseball bracket, them and TCU were my sleepers. I had to represent the Big 12. But the main reason was because of Holiday. I liked the program he runs there. Real quick, Noah's teased out some of his sleepers, teams that he likes. Rush and I will throw a couple in there as well, maybe give out some futures. But first, we got to talk about, well, it's Masters week. Shit, it's Masters tomorrow. Masters Thursday. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you checked out the hole-in-one contest today where the par three contest where they shoot hole-in-ones left and right over at Amen Corner. So get on over there to Golf Gambling Podcast. Guys are giving away a free TaylorMade Spider X putter. You're going to need to make that so you're not fucking 3-4, 3-4 putting in your golf rounds this summer. So get on over there, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play alongside your favorite players and teams all season long. Easiest way to play fantasy sports and the fastest growing app in the industry. And all we have is that promo code TCESGPN, and they will match 100% deposit up to $100. Noah, you are the underdog guru. Do you have anything on hand? If not, I know I put you on the spot there. Do you have anything cooked up on Underdog, MLB or college baseball?
You know, just because I've been consuming golf content left and right, the two guys that, you know, I can't escape this weekend for the Masters are Shoffley. Xander Schauffele and Shane Lowry. So those are the two names that I'm on that I think.
Irish.
Yeah, I think they both outperform some of their player projections and expectations this weekend. Lowry won because it seems like there's going to be some tough weather that they're going to be enduring, and him being the big Irishman, you know, he can take it with the barrel chest. And I think it's Xander's year. But other than that, no. Not really. I was kind of put on the spot, but I should have been prepped.
You should know this. You should have seen it last night when I was giving out my way too early preseason top 25, AKA guessing and closing my eyes and throwing darts at the wall. And between now and
your
then,
your darts might have pretty good CLV when it's all said and done, though.
Oh, I know.
Everybody realizes what Iowa State's going to bring back. You know, that's a team for sure.
When you're in the dark, you got to go to the old reliable. Let me look to the Big 12 for a couple futures. Go check out my college basketball futures episode. I gave out Houston 15-1, Iowa State, I think it was 30.
25, right?
25. Or 25
and then
or 30.
Gonzaga.
Yeah, those were my three. So two current Big 12, maybe a future Big 12 with the Zags. But I don't know. I didn't want to be the guy to give out fucking UConn for a three-peat. And you know me, I hate UConn. Just ask the UConn fans. But anyway, where were we talking about? Oh, we're talking about Underdog Fantasy. Simply pick higher or lower, and you must be 18 or older, presented in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with the play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. All right. We are back on the Big 12 college experience and college baseball experience. Yeah, they were busting my chops for not having any college basketball underdog plays. They said, guys, there's no games till November 4th. They don't have any of these. They don't have the market out. We still got 30 weeks to go. Noah, so I'm sensing you like Oklahoma State to win it or just come back and at least get a share of it. Rush, you got any team that you want to throw out there that you think will end up winning the regular season? We can talk about postseason after this. But any team that you could see coming out of nowhere to win this league?
Out of nowhere. So,
but two questions. Who do you think will win it, and then who's a sleeper?
Kind of just a sleeper surprise. Yeah.
Don't pick Texas.
No. I'm not picking Texas. But it's just not much different. I think Oklahoma State, I mean, they're only one game back. They won a share of it last year, and they've beaten West Virginia. That was the one series West Virginia didn't win in the Big 12 was against Oklahoma State. I just, for everything that Noah just said, I know it's not sexy there. But I will say, here's what I think is interesting, and I know I'm really coming across as a West Virginia homer here, is this series this weekend with West Virginia and UCF is a very fascinating series. And that series the winner of that series might be going against, you know, the Oklahoma State, Oklahoma for that Big 12, or at least a share of it. Because UCF is not doing bad at all this year. Overall record 21-8. They've struggled a little bit in the Big 12, but I think their struggle was they just got swept against Oklahoma. Besides that series, and you know, that's early. That sometimes happens in baseball. It takes a second to get things going. But they've won the rest of their Big 12 series besides that. I think they've gone 2 out of 3 of their other Big 12 series. So they come up to Morgantown this weekend. I think that's a very fascinating series. And I think if UCF wins 2 out of 3 in Morgantown, I will take them as my dark horse.
I'm going to piggyback Rush here. They're my sleeper as well. Rush is doing great analyzing the conference here.
Former catcher, man. I used to see it all.
There we go. I love UCF this year. When you're looking at teams that are best equipped for the NCAA tournament, UCF might be a host. Currently, we're 8 weeks through the regular season. We've got 7 more coming up. UCF 6th in the RPI. In college baseball, there is no net. It's basically all RPI.
We're manipulating the baseball rankings now, too. Is that what you're telling me?
Not quite. You're not safe outside of UCF. I don't know what it is, but UCF being in the state of Florida definitely helps because baseball is strong and all of a lot of the mid majors in the area. And in baseball, most of the midweeks you're scheduling are teams really local to you. So normally that's the case in like the West, especially the middle of the country, whether it be Arkansas, and we're talking about Oklahoma a lot here. Their non-cons in the midweek typically drag down their RPI more than teams on the East Coast with the ACC or the SEC having the abundance of mid majors around them that are also solid at baseball. But getting back to UCF here, I really like this team. So currently they're first in opponent batting average, holding opponents to just .225, and they're second in conference ERA with a .486. It all starts with the pitching staff. They are deep. When it comes to, you know, the starting rotation, Ben Vespe on Fridays in game ones, Dom Stagliano in game two, and then they kind of mix it up after that. Their bullpen is the strongest in the Big 12 with guys like Dominic Castellano, Cade Boxrucker, Kyle Kramer, Wiley Hartley. Those four guys are super, super solid that just a lot of teams struggle to match. And Rich Wallace is just able to mix and match against different matchups at the plate that allows him to really kind of, you know, X and O other coaches in the Big 12. And at the plate, they're not bad too. Led by Matt Prevesque. He's got .372 batting average, of .960 OPS. But the guy that kind of is the key cog to this is Jack Ziska. He's a transfer from the Notre Dame team. For those that have followed the college baseball experience since the first year that we did it in 2022, Notre Dame was my Cinderella, my dark horse.
Beat Tennessee.
I picked them to upend Tennessee, and Jack Sisko was a role player on that team. He's got the College World Series experience. They won a game in Omaha, but just beating that Tennessee team in the NCAA tournament, he's going to be a leader on this team throughout the final stretch of the regular season and the road to Omaha. And Lex Bodicker has really come on lately. He had two bombs against Kansas State over the weekend. He's another guy to keep an eye on. And Andrew Sundin coming into the year was the biggest MLB draft prospect. This team has plenty of pieces that they can play with. UCF's is a very fun team. Currently tied for seventh, but they are probably your best shot at being a host when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
Oh, okay. What was that name that you gave out?
Bodicker.
Bodicker. I thought I heard that right. I was like, that's a hell of a name, but I didn't want to interrupt your point.
Yeah, it is.
Let me ask you about one of my favorite teams always in the league. Guns up, the Red Raiders, because you got, what, Tim Tadlock, and you're number 11. Yeah. He always runs a good program. They've been to the College World Series a couple times. They're sitting at 8-7, but their schedule, they got a huge fucking series this weekend with TCU. We talk about TCU being undervalued right now. They're better than their record. They got West Virginia coming to them. They're in first place. They got Kansas, and then you fast forward to May, they got both Oklahoma schools on the schedule. Could Texas Tech, who's 24-9, so maybe they've kind of got worn down a little bit in Big 12 play versus at a conference they played a bunch of home games, could they go on a little bit of a run here and make some noise in the Big 12?
100%. When you're talking about Tadlock, that was a great point opening up there. One of the best coaches also in the Big 12. He does much more with much less compared to the rest of the state, the conference. And this team owns their own ballpark. Lubbock, it is automatic, especially offensively. I don't know what it is. On paper, it's a big park, but they just hit better there. And Texas Tech this season, first, they have the best average in conference. They have the most runs scored in conference with a 324 batting average, 328 runs scored. Up and down the lineup, they just mash. That is the way to victory for the Red Raiders here. On Friday, Saturdays, a.k.a. game one, game two, they have arms that can lead them to victory with Kyle Robinson and Mac Hoyer. He's a true freshman, though, so there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way with Hoyer. However, when it comes to the midweeks, when it comes to game threes, when it's just a all-out mash fest, Texas Tech most of the time has the upper hand against the conference. It starts with, Gavin Cash has been the stalwart in this offense. Biggest power bat probably in the conference. He's got 8 bombs this year, and he was a huge MLB prospect coming into the year. The 302 batting average has been great. He hasn't quite lived up to the power profile that we expected from him, but we expect that that's still going to be there, still going to come in the big moments. Owen Washburn, Damian Bravo, TJ Pompey, all key pieces to this lineup that really carry the water for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. They're a team that I don't expect. Right now they're tied for 7th. I don't expect them to leave the top half of this conference standings by the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fascinated to see how this Big 12 shakes out coming down the stretch. Real quick, let's hit another ad break, and then we'll get back. We'll talk the road to Omaha because, shit, we just talked about it. We got, 5 weekends, I believe, left before we have the conference tournament, which is always Memorial weekend at Rangers Ballpark. And then we'll be going to the regionals, then the super regionals, and then we'll be in Omaha. And if you want to get over there and bet on some Omaha, embed every side of it like Colby, get over there to Avo. And we're a proud partner with Avo, the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. And if you're new to sports betting, it's simple. Basically bet both sides so you can hedge out 2 different sports books and lock in a profit. Avo tool scans the sports books looking for the best discrepancies out there. And there's plenty if you dig deep enough. Money can be made, and each sportsbook can make an expected profit. The tool is super easy to use, lightning fast, as the speed is a big proponent of sports gambling. do your part. AVO is currently free to use without restriction. That's right, completely free. Get started today at arbsversusodds.com. That is ARBS versus VS, that is ODDS.com. arbsversusodds.com. All right, welcome back to the Big 12 and college baseball experience. Talked about who we think's going to win, other than West Virginia, because it's Randy Mays last year and JJ Weatherholt's the best player in the league. Let's go. Noah, real quick, talk about how many – I'll ask you a bracketology, so we'll go into a little bracketology. How many bids will the Big 12 get? How are they positioning themselves with the RPI? Did they do a good job of the non-con of rigging the schedule, just like everybody claims they do in basketball? year after year, even though that the net's been around for fucking 8 years and now everybody's trying to be a genius about it. But talk to us about where the Big 12 sits bracketology wise, and then we'll talk about some teams that we think could go on a run in Omaha over the next month.
Yeah, so I think currently the Big 12, like I said, they don't have any people or any programs that have really pulled away from the pack. But just like football, it's a jumbled mess. TCU currently probably projected outside of the field can definitely play their way in. They had a solid non-conference. They just got to wake up in conference play. So that's one. Kansas State, Texas 2, Texas Tech 3, Oklahoma 4, West Virginia 5, Oklahoma State 6, UCF 7. And I would probably put you guys at 6 currently, a chance to get 7. Or if you steal a bid, it would be 7 or 8, given if TCU is able to climb out of the hole. That would put you only behind the SEC and the ACC. Currently the Pac-12 has been really, really, really lackluster this year. So it kind of opened up the window for, even though the Big 12 hasn't had some teams pull away from the pack, they still have a really good chunk of teams that I think are going to the NCAA tournament. The SEC is going to be projected around 10 or 11 teams this year, ACC 9 or 10. You guys being at 6, 7, or 8, given a bid steal, is a very, very solid outlook, I think, for the conference.
I know we're talking about this year, Noah, but, you know, you just brought up the Pac-12. We kind of talked about formatting for College World Series, and, of course, in a world where you're trying to build the best conference possible. And of course, football and basketball rule, but you know, these other sports too, they bring in crowds and you want to make money, you want to make revenue. But last year's Big 12, right, was the last year of 10 teams. It was kind of the true round robin, right? Obviously we're kind of in the purgatory Big 12 this year, but the next year, you know, the Big 16 was the baseball conference better with Texas and Oklahoma in it when you just had those 10 teams, or is it going to be better with having these 16 teams and having like Arizona State joining from a warm weather state, Utah, you know, kind of get the holy war with baseball again. I don't think Colorado has a team. I think it's club. So they'll be joining Iowa State where, you know, there's not full teams. Where
title do you see this new?
Yeah, basically. But how do you kind of see this comparing this Big 12 this year and next year compared to what we traditionally seen in the Big 12?
So yeah, when we're talking baseball, losing Texas, who's possibly the biggest blue blood out there is, it's a big blow. Also Oklahoma, who played in the national championship in 2022. That's a solid blow to the conference's standing currently. However, I like the two additions of the Arizona schools. I don't think it directly replaces Oklahoma and Texas. Sure. But Arizona State in their own right is a blue blood that's kind of just been asleep at the wheel lately. And taking them out of the Pac-12, where, yes, it's not strong this year, but it's a down year because you have both Stanford that has made 3 straight Omaha appearances, hasn't, you know, they've lost a lot of – they had a lot of roster turnover basically from last year's team. When you go 3 straight years, you're going to have that. So Arizona State is like trying to squeak through in the Pac-12 right now, but they're young.
But historically they haven't been like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in years past, decades past, Arizona State has I would compare Arizona State to kind of like an Indiana in college basketball.
I think
UCLA in college basketball. A lot of their best moments are behind them. However, they still have the great recruiting ground in baseball to get them into. I mean, when we're talking about the Big 12 here, I'll go back to the Big 12. The door is open for a program to take over and be the top number one. I think it's going to be Oklahoma State, but I'm just like saying the door is open for somebody to swing for lack of a better term, just enter through the door with their dick first. Arizona State, I think, has a chance to do that. I don't think they have the right guy at the helm in Willie Blomquist, but they hit and they're in a launch pad of a ballpark for the Sun Devils. Currently, right now, Arizona's a little bit better, and they have been for the last decade or so. I like Chip Hale at the helm. He has kind of bought into the philosophy of what Wake Forest is currently doing in the ACC. Wake Forest ballpark is 300, 305 down the lines. It's a shoebox. Arizona also being a launch pad, he's like, if they can have one of the best pitching staffs in the country in that ballpark, let's take what they're doing and go implement it here. Arizona is going to be a team to watch as they enter the Big 12, especially on the bump, but they always hit. So I think the two Arizona additions are solid, but to come full circle and answer the question, I don't think it's as good as it once was with both Texas and Oklahoma in the conference.
Let me clarify this then. If Texas and Oklahoma, let's say there are 10, like you just can't really replace them. How much, I guess, ground do you gain in getting that back with Cincinnati, UCF, BYU, Houston, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State?
Not enough. I don't think.
Fair enough. So it's a weaker conference without them.
It is. Okay. The UCF, Cincinnati, and the Utah edition, like those guys, I expected not much.
Sure.
The Houston, I think, has potential. I also think the Arizona State editions have potential. But none of them are going to kind of carry the weight like Texas did. Texas, year in, year out, is dangerous in the postseason. We'll get to that, I guess, in a little bit, too. But, yeah, I think just losing that program for sure is a big blow baseball-wise.
Become more fun, though.
It does.
That's what's ironic. It's like everybody does point, and obviously football is the king of kings. But like baseball wise, they're really losing the blue bloods. Football, everybody thinks Texas and Oklahoma is a blue blood, and to a certain degree, they're kind of like we talked about Indiana and UCLA in basketball, where they're just kind of still living off of the past. But in baseball, they're in the fucking hunt every single year. But, I mean, SEC baseball is going to be stupid good when they add those two teams.
Yeah.
We talked some futures. So I'm over at DraftKings right now. I know if you see some better odds. Ironically, the team with the shortest odds in the Big 12 is the team in the baseball. TCU's 30-1 to win the national championship. Yet they're 5-10.
I'll address this.
I'm saying it right now. We're being disrespected.
I'll address this. College baseball is a niche betting market. The futures markets are slow to update. So you can oftentimes, if a team had a really good week, you can capitalize and buy low still instead of having, you know, college basketball or college football where they update at the hour. Yes. College baseball, it takes actual money to move these markets. And if nobody's playing it, then you can be the sharpest one to the book and jump on a good number. So, yes, the TCU currently – yes. TCU currently not in the NCAA tournament and being the betting favorite is the flaw in the college baseball betting market. And it's something that we're able to take advantage of.
It's crazy. I'm like, I'm writing down these futures for these teams in the Big 12. And I go, wait, how is TCU the freaking shortest odds being 30-1? Like you said, they gotta update that. Oklahoma 7. Go ahead, Rush.
Oh, I was just going to say they think they're going to catch fire. I guess
I do agree. I think the futures market's foreshadowing. So bet on TCU every single game down the stretch. I think you're going to make some money. Noah has hinted at that. Oklahoma, I think, is the next team, at 70-1. Then you got Texas at 75-1. 90-1 Oklahoma State. Well, here's some free money. West Virginia's 100-1. Get on over there. Get in at it. Randy Magee farewell tour. Mountaineers gonna get it done in Omaha. I just want to get to Omaha. That would just be so cool for Magee to go out that way. Hell, we win it. But I just would like to get there. K-State 130-1. UCF 200-1. Kansas 250-1. And then you got the Cougs and Bears at 500-1. Am I missing anybody? I think I might be missing one or
if
two.
If you got down to the Cougs Cincinnati, and Bears.
Cincinnati's at 900-1. Woo!
Did you list Kansas too? They're probably in the basement as well.
Yeah, they're 250. Kansas is 250. And then obviously Iowa State does not play baseball. So, and Houston.
Don't bet on that.
Yeah, Houston. I don't think Houston was listed. Or maybe Houston was not listed, but this is over at DraftKings. So if anybody sees Houston and wants to bet on them going on a run, even though they're in dead last, good luck. Noah, give out a future among the Big 12, or which one has the best bang for your buck?
All right, if you're looking for bang for your buck, I'm ready to be crucified for this. I hinted at it a little bit ago, but Texas at 75-1.
All right, is you're criminal. Out. You're off the show.
I was expecting to hear that, but it's criminal. They've got the best ace in the conference in LeBaron Johnson Jr., and he has stumbled as of late.
What'd you say his name was?
LeBaron.
Of course you're betting on Texas. You get your fucking
name.
Coming on here talking about more dick riders, and then you're talking about fucking LeBaron being the ace of the Longhorns. Sorry, no. I thought I heard that right go. Did you say LeBaron?
It's his third year doing the damn thing. He had a lot of draft hype coming into the year. And he's just recently stumbled and had his worst starts of the season, but he started off red hot. LeBaron Johnson Jr. going on Fridays, Johnson. And they have a mix after that of, you know, Max Grubbs and Cody Howard. They've dealt with some injuries in the starting rotation, but the bullpen depth has been great. Texas, offensively, too, they lead the conference in batting average with 306, and they've scored the most runs in conference play with 104 so far this season. Texas at 75-1 is disrespectful to me just because of the aura of the Longhorns coming to your ballpark to play in the NCAA tournament. They find a way to get it done. They've got something like 37 Omaha appearances, which is by far the most in NCAA baseball history. Yeah. They're going to be in the mix every single year. 75-1 is a value play. The other one, you guys kind of hinted at it, and you guys may even know your team better than I do, but West Virginia also is catching the disrespectful price. Yeah.
That is a fantastic value, and that's not a homer take. Like, that is
it is. They're currently value. Sitting in first in a power conference, and you're getting them at, what did we say, 100-1? So,
yeah. And they're now getting hot. They got their players back, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting hot, and they didn't even have their best player until last weekend. So J.J. Weatherholt adds a whole different dimension to the offense in a power department, for sure, but also just the attention that he brings in the lineup is a guy that you can't miss a pitch to. He's going to punish you if you do, and if you pitch around him, this team has gotten them to sitting in first place without him. They have been able to show us that, you know, they can do it. They're not just a one-man show offensively and defensively on the mound. They're holding opponents to just a .245 batting average in conference play. They have been able to piece together this pitching staff like none other. This is I said it last year with you guys too. Randy Magee has had two amazing coaching jobs in a row here. Aiden Major has been able to go out them and give them been able to go out there and give them all he can on Fridays. He's been pretty much steady, consistent. He's given them a chance to win every single game won this season. But they've mix and match behind him. Derek Clark and Tyler Swetolski. Good Lord. I stumbled over that name. Butchered that name. Yes. But they have been able to piece together the bullpen pieces behind their starters to win some ball games. It's been hella impressive without JJ, and now they have JJ back. This is the time to bet West Virginia if you're going to bet them at all this season.
You didn't have to twist my arm. They just took the lead over Marshall 2-1 in the 7th, by the way. Let's go, Mountaineers. They're playing in Huntington, so shout out to Maisie and company. I know Colby would love that.
Did you start the 9th?
Yes. Yeah, we're in the 8th now. That was a half hour ago. I got the little score app up. Updated me. When you were talking about Texas, always find a way to win at your ballpark, all I could think about was Colby's ECU Pirates. Fucking, that was one of the best series that I can remember in recent years.
I wish I was there. But then again, I wish I wasn't.
Yeah.
Because also, just the amount of rain delays in that regional, super regional, were brutal. But that was an awesome place to be. And yeah, that's the epitome of it, because East Carolina has got one of the most passionate baseball fans in the country. They were rain delayed for 7 hours. They show back up at the ballpark. The place is freaking packed, and Texas goes out there and they steal it from them. They snatch victory in the jaws of defeat. That's what I mean by that. Yeah, that's a great point.
I hope everybody's ready, because this is one of the best sports, undercovered sports, like hidden gems in the country, the college baseball playoffs and the bracket. One of the things that comes with it is the fucking nonstop rain delays. I've never seen a sport have so many, like that Vanderbilt game. Like, it's like, oh yeah, we'll start at 2:30 in the morning. I go, what? Yeah. Why would you just play this shit tomorrow? I can't fucking stay up till 2:30 for a fucking baseball game. But yeah,
Colby holds it against college football and whatever by playing indoor stadiums and inside domes. But the Big 12 tournament is secured. They're not going to have any weather delays. They're inside Globe Life. So their tournament's awesome. It starts 10 a.m. Eastern time, 11 Central, I believe. And they go all throughout the day. The issue with the SEC tournament is it gets rained on every single year. And they're threatening to move it out of Hoover, Alabama, because of that. But you know, with the Big 12, it's nonstop baseball.
Well, not only is it rain delays, it's a tornado delay every year. It's not just a rain delay. It's like tornado delay. The field might be destroyed, but we're still gonna play the tournament. Rush, you got any teams you're looking outside of West Virginia? I think we all agree West Virginia 100-1. I think reluctantly we agree on Texas 75-1 is worth good value.
That's great. What was Oklahoma's again?
70. I mean,
yeah, they have to call that's what I'm. I agree with that. I would probably go Oklahoma.
You know, I have to give out Oklahoma State 90-1 is another long shot. I always Holiday. I like the way he runs his program. That's a no brainer for me. There you go. We give out some futures. Got everybody caught up to speed. The Final Four's in the rearview mirror. We got college basketball off-season content, but hey, most importantly, we got college baseball content for the next month and change, or next 2 months, because Omaha goes into the month of June. Noah, before we get out of here, anything else you want to add as we hit really your time of year, baby, with the college baseball experience?
I mean, we're going to be picking up the workload on the college baseball experience for sure. We're going to be adding a midweek episode / weekend recap. And then during that episode, we'll be taking a look at like futures markets throughout the year. So like whether it comes like a Big 12 like we did this week, we'll be looking at, I'm sure, the SEC, the ACC futures markets on outrights and win totals. And then anything Omaha appearance and stuff like that for the midweeks. But also I'm looking to ramp it up to 2 weekend podcasts. We'll probably do Thursday night and a Saturday night shows. I think also weekly articles on sportsgamblingpodcast.com from me for college baseball picks. But other than that, follow me on Twitter, NoahB77_. I'm putting out daily picks over there for free. And also we have our picks page up and running for college baseball as well. So both Rush and Ryan and Troy can jump on that page as well and start giving out some picks, because we've got everything tracked for the entire year since we started up that page. And it gets really good traffic. So shout out to the Tally Site guys that help us run that. And yeah, it's going to be an exciting year. Third third year that we've had that we've done this, and I'm looking to be in Omaha this season for my first time ever. So
hell yeah,
yep. That is on my bucket list. I will make it out there. Speaking of rain delays and tornado delays, Omaha always has the fucking delays. It's minus 110 that the championship will not be played on the day it's scheduled to be played on. So jealous there. Yeah, go check out Noah Beanick at the College Baseball Experience. Rush, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
It may be baseball season for the Big 12 College Experience, but it is basketball season over at the Ryan and Rush Show. As you all may see, our thumbnail, my thumbnail in the background here, DeVries, welcome to West Virginia. So we'll be covering their coaching staff and transfer portal recruits there, and obviously talking Big 12 as well. About to be the Big 16, Ryan. So yes, need some images changed on here. Well, we need a baseball one for sure. We should always keep horns down and OU down, like in the corner somewhere, like
bottom left corner,
like just hide it. Like, yeah. Like have the teams down. So I was thinking about that, but anyway, at Rambling Rush, Twitter, Instagram, appreciate the support, everyone. Except for baseball season.
It's hilarious. The similarities between our basketball programs. Me, I'm a Michigan fan at heart first, the debacle in the off season doesn't quite match yours, but we did have our own, and then the regular season was just as big of a disappointment. So
you won a national championship in football. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
Just stop talking. You're fine. Like, okay, you had a bad basketball season. You got rid of a coach that's not good anyway. So there you go.
But yeah, I mean, we're both starting new eras, new head coach.
I don't want to hear it, Noah. You won a football national championship,
and we got a new era coach in football too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jimmy Boy
and the khakis are in L.A. to coach up Justin Herbert, and he
took the whole staff with them.
Yeah, they don't want to get in trouble either.
No, they said, fuck it. Now you got to go tattle on Ryan Day, because we know they were the ones that headed up that operation, the witch hunt that was with Jim Harbaugh this year. Everybody, go check out the College Football Experience. It just popped on my feed that they're previewing week zero. I just saw the little icons, and then I saw him, Nick, and Patty C. So go check out them. They just started. And then after they're done, I'll be on the College Basketball Experience breaking down Kentucky candidates. Hopefully it's not Scott Drew selfishly, because I am a Big 12 fan. We all are Big 12 fans, and we don't want to see Scott Drew at Kentucky, because quite frankly, I'm not rooting for Kentucky. I'm not going to hide that. I don't root for the Blue Bloods, if you have not noticed already. But we are here all season long at the College Basketball Experience. We'll be talking Mountaineers a lot, because they got 12 open scholarships, most likely. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Big 12 Experience. He's Noah Beanick and the College Baseball Experience. He's at Rambling Rush. I'm at Moneyline_Mac. We are the College Experience. You better start thinking about yours. And we are out of here.